Hey, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about IWCE out in Vegas this year, IWCE 2016. You know why I want to talk about it? Because they asked me to speak there. I'm going to be doing three things, and I'll tell you about it in just a minute. First, I want to thank Tower Tracker Pro. If you need to do closeout packages, you might as well do them right. You might as well do them in one visit, and you might as well have the pictures and the information checked out before the guys even leave the site. Doesn't that just make sense? Doesn't it make sense to have a step-by-step that they can do? Tower Tracker Pro. The link for that is in wadeforwireless.com. I'm telling you, these guys are interesting what they have, you know, a software package. Although it costs money, it ain't free, folks. But think about it. One visit, no second visit, not going back as long as you have the closeout package right the first time. I know what it's like sometimes. Those guys want to change things, but get it up front. That's why I created the scope of work training, so you know exactly what you have to do up front to get paid. No guesswork, and you have a contract. A scope of work can be part of the contract between the two parties. Again, that's also in my on my blog, wadeforwireless.com. I laugh because I'm just going to point you to my blog, okay? Wade, W-A-D-E, the number four, wireless.com. Also, I want to thank Tower Safety and Instruction, which you can reach them at towersafety.com, who has all the tower safety training, the OSHA training, CPR, first aid, and so on. Now they have drone training because they teamed up with unmanned experts to provide drone training. How cool is that? To be educated and properly certified for drone work at tower sites. It's not as easy as you think it is. It actually takes some education to get things right, and you want to be certified so that you don't make the tower industry look bad. That's why I did all these blogs about the Nate Drone Initiative. It's a big deal. Oh, finally, the Wireless Deployment Handbook, written by me. I wrote that book because you were asking me a lot of questions about wireless deployment for small cell C-RAN and DAS, and that's what I focused the book around. I have a lot of information in that book, and I'm probably going to raise the price. Well, I am going to raise the price soon. But the reason that book was put out there was so that you would understand all the steps in wireless deployment. I think what I'm going to do next, I want to do a wireless deployment engineering book, and then I want to break the tasks down and do separate books for each task based on what I know so I can share it with the industry. That, and I have a lot of books planned. It all takes time, people. But I want to do it for you because you guys ask me a lot of this stuff, and I'm really trying to help. But I am going to put more in-depth information in these books. I'm going to do the best I can and get the information out there. All right, let's talk IWCE and LTE, and that's what I'm talking about this year. Specifically, I'm going to talk about LTE deployment on March 21st at 2:30 out in Vegas, 2:30 Vegas time, and that's p.m., not a.m. I know in Vegas nobody sleeps. I do. I think I'm the only guy that sleeps. Like New Orleans and Nate as the only guy that slept. So what we're going to talk about then, they're having a session, a half-day session from 2:30 to 5:30. It's going to be a long session, and it's about next-generation wireless networks, 4G, LTE, and broadband. It's a workshop. That's right, it's a workshop. And again, the link's in the blog. This blog will be called Learn About LTE at IWCE 2016. So look for that. But the moderator is Mary Walsh of LBC Consultants, and basically, it's going to be a lot of sessions on broadband and LTE. Don O'Malley Sr. is a product manager for Cisco Systems, and he's going to talk about broadband and teach about broadband. Next is going to be Patrick Ringquist, vice president of broadband network strategy, and he's going to talk about why LTE, what it is, what is VoLTE, and what is 5G. So that'll help break it down. Then me talking about LTE deployment overview. I'm going to talk about deployment, basically a high-level speech of what's in my book. And then we're going to hear about the world's smallest LTE network, Micro Broadband Networks for Mission Critical Coverage, from Mohan Timocetti and Gary Minetti of VirtualCom. They're going to talk about that. Then how to leverage Wi-Fi to maximize LTE coverage by Wim Brower of Nokia. And finally, convergent management systems as enabler of efficiency for critical operations and hybrid networks. Sammy Honkaniami. I hope I said your name right, Sammy. I hope I said it right. So he's with Mentora Group, managing director of Mentora Group. The deal is you're going to learn a lot about broadband and LTE in that particular session. So with FirstNet coming out, it's going to be a big deal. How to do these LTE networks. Supposedly, if FirstNet does build with a carrier, which it looks like right now, you know, there's going to be a lot of expansion networks. And also with 3.5 gigahertz being released soon, I hope. You hear me, FCC? Release it soon, please. We'll be able to do a lot more with that. So I think it'll really open up a lot of opportunity. So that's on March 21st. On March 22nd, we're going to have another session, pick me, choosing the right technology for your system. Now, this is geared around public safety because here's what it's about. The moderator is Steve Mackey, president of Advent 3C, and we're going to talk about P25, specifically Doug Chapman of EtherStack, representing PTIG, and we're also going to talk about NextDN, NXDN, from Rodney Grimm of ICOM. He's representing the NextDN Forum, and also Tetra by John Monto of Rockwell Columns, representing TCCA, and DMR, Bill Fredrickson, Celex, representing DMRA, and then finally me, talking about LTE, and you know who I am, and then finally IP, Don O'Malley Sr., Product Manager of Cisco Systems. And what we're going to talk about there is basically each different type of RAN technology used for public safety, because you have P25, right? That's mostly used here in the States. And it's like one of the least popular in the world. I think, what, 7 or 8 countries use it? Then you have Tetra that's used by, I think, over 100 countries. P25 and Tetra specifically, while they do have data capabilities, they're really used for two-way talk, like a trunked system. Now, anyone who doesn't know what trunking is, that's basically when you have multiple channels that can pick up and it's a two-way system. You talk, somebody listens. They press a button to talk, push to talk, PTT. Push to talk. They push a button to talk. You hear them. You push a button to talk. They hear you. And in public safety, that's a key for a lot of things. Now, things are changing, right? There's a lot of upgrades and changes being made to the system. And anyone who doesn't understand how trunking works, if you ever had a Nextel phone and you could push to talk in the Nextel, that's it. Same thing. It's just they're different formats. You have P25. And the reason you have these different formats is because the FCC used to just have basically simplex or duplex systems and they had more bandwidth. But then what they did with public safety, they had them crunch their bandwidth down. So what Tetra does is basically puts 2 or 3 channels in that same bandwidth, whereas P25, I think, is very narrow band. LTE, as you know, broadband. We want more spectrum. Hey, I missed one. Wi-Fi and 5G by Scott Peabody, senior consultant at Adcom Engineering Company. Almost forgot you, Scott. Sorry, buddy. We're all going to be talking about the different technologies that can be used for public safety and the ways in which it can be used. I'm specifically going to bring up the pros and cons of each. Well, not each. I got to be honest with you. It's going to be about LTE. I'm going to bring up the pros of LTE, but also the cons of LTE. Because as far as push-to-talk and LTE, really isn't there yet. Volte's just coming on. You can do push-to-talk. It's proximity services, I believe it's what it's called, ProSe. And I'm just now reading up on a lot of that. It's fairly new, but that's basically when one unit can talk to another, and they'll probably put it in the device. But I got to tell you, when you had Nextel phones, I don't know if you had it, but Nextel had that feature where you could talk from device to device. It was just like a walkie-talkie system. That's really all it was, just high-tech digital signal. And anyone who's ever worked with those, I call Motorola radios, those little push-to-talk radios, we used to use those in tower work a lot. They're fairly cheap. They weren't very tough. We broke a lot of them, you know, one fall and they're done. But it was much cheaper than, say, using a trunk system or a bigger radio, those old heavy radios. You know, they were small, they were tiny, they were fairly reliable. When you're around RF, it's hard to tell what's reliable. Anyway, I digress. Then, on Wednesday, March 23rd, I'll moderate a session, which is Power Shelters and Site Management for Remote Wireless Infrastructure. And I have all the links for all these in there. And then I moderate Bob Selby Wood of Centaur. We'll talk about remote monitoring. Travis Schiffer of Pepro will talk about site hardening. Rick Schmidt of Dantherm will talk about cooling. And Nam Paik of TSI Power Corporation will talk about power management, backup power, battery backup, and all the cool stuff that you have to do with power. And I'd like to thank Nam because he came in at the last minute, you know. Somebody dropped out and he picked it up, which is I really appreciate. The other thing I really appreciate is the team at IWCE. There's Stacy, there's Luann. They do so much work to get this to happen. And trust me, there's a lot of sessions. I don't know if you've ever been to IWCE. I mean, the floor is one thing. But beyond the floor, it's even larger than Nate, if you've ever been to Nate, or it's very large. It's on the scale, I think, it's on the scale of like CTIA, of what their thing is, you know, when they get together. It's big. They have a lot of sessions, a lot of training, a lot of talks, and it takes a lot of coordination. Usually, I got to tell you, last year, any session that mentioned FirstNet was packed. It just seemed like everybody was interested in FirstNet. I talked about tower safety and some other things, and we had some people there. It wasn't packed, but I sat in some other sessions. I was just amazed by how many people were interested in FirstNet last year. And I'm curious what it'll be like this year. I think the states still have a vested interest. So you figure you got 50 states out there. They'll probably send 2 people each. There'll be 100 people visiting all these sessions because they want to know what's going on with FirstNet. But the reality is, for us in deployment, and I'm going to write a blog, or I did write a blog about this called The FirstNet Fizzle, it's just going to be one of those things that for deployment, unless you do AT&T work or work with a carrier, I don't see a lot of new work coming out. It'll be basically an expansion is the way I see it right now. I would love to see someone build a new system. And that's where Rivada comes in. They wanted to build a new system and they have a lot of money and some big names backing them, but I just don't know how practical it's going to be. Anyway, if you can make it to IWCE, that would be awesome. If you want a discount, if you want a free pass to the exhibition hall, a free hall pass, or you get a discount to the forums and training classes and so on, you can use the code SPK. That's right. S is in Sam, P is in Paul, K is in no. So SPK, that'll give you a break getting in. If you just want to go and see what it's about, you can go, you can get a discount. And I'm not going to put that in my blog. I will put it in my newsletter and I'll put it on here. So anyone that listens to this, if you're interested in just walking the hall pass and you want to go to Vegas for a day or two, SPK. Now, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I don't know when the hall opens. I think it's Wednesday or Thursday. I think it's only open for a day or two. The other days are all sessions. So you can look it over. I have the link in there, but basically IWCE 2016, get out there and learn, 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 learn. But that's the purpose of that whole conference is that you can learn about the different types of RAN networks there are, anything from Tetra to P25 to LTE. You can learn more about public safety. You have all the vendors out there that promote their stuff, right? They want you to know what they have available. And when I say vendors, you know, everything from power to site hardening to backhaul services to a monitoring services, alarm services, all that. A lot of it's geared around public safety. So I find it interesting because when you jump from the carrier world to public safety, to me, although they share a lot of services, it's handled very differently. Carriers do things very structured and elaborate way because they usually try to build on numbers based on a nationwide system, whereas public safety systems, and trust me, I worked public safety for years, you can be working for a city, a county, a state, and they all handle things differently. Now, there's uniformity between some of them, but budget has a big part of what you do and what you can't do. When you're working with these guys, the budget is tough. You got to really work within their budget. When they get a grant, when the feds hand out grants or something like that, it's pretty nice because it gives them the flexibility to do something really awesome. But most of the time, I got to tell you, they work on a lot of shoestring budgets. They do a lot of things the way that they've always done it because, quite frankly, it works and it's reliable. And the other thing that you don't realize, like with a carrier, when they need coverage, you build a business case. With public safety, when they need coverage, someone basically has to go and scream at somebody to get the money freed up to get something. I know, I've seen it. In Pennsylvania here, I remember this one sheriff that was in a life-threatening situation, which he got out of. And if you ever met the guy, guy's huge. He's like, I swear to God, he's like 6'8", 6'9". And yet, he walked into a situation where someone who was suicidal, I can't give out any names, but someone who was suicidal had a shotgun basically pointed at him. Well, pointed at herself. It was a lady. And then pointed at him, and he opened his mic, which is protocol. Unfortunately, he had no coverage. So his backup's like out at the car, you know, playing solitaire or something. I'm not busting on the guy for backup, but he was waiting for a call to go in or to do anything. Well, pretty soon the sheriff realized nothing's going to happen, and he basically talked his way out and got the gun, talked the lady down, helped her out, you know, got her with services that would help her. Anyway, the only reason I told you this story was because coverage matters. And for that guy to get coverage where he was, and I don't know how many of you know Pennsylvania, it's full of hills, crevices, valleys, mountains. Where he was just a dead spot. We all knew it. Nobody cared until that happened. Then he made a ruckus about it. And he was mad at all the radio guys. And the radio guys, look, we put in the paperwork, denied, denied, denied. So then he went above them and he somehow went up through the political ladder. And eventually we did get a site put in. We worked off a lot of donations, believe it or not. I think back then Nextel donated a shelter. Somebody else donated power. Oh, I know what it was. We put something in a water tank. We built something in a water tank. Nextel donated a shelter that they wanted to get rid of, and we offered to take it. They got the write-off. Everybody's happy. I remember we had a truck bring it out. It was a very small shelter. It was really strange. You know, it was like it was literally like 6x6. And if you ever worked in a shelter, that's pretty tight. So we put all the equipment in there, and then we're able to run power off the water tank, which the Department of Water basically gave us power. So we were able to do that, and public safety was up. We put the antennas up. Everybody's happy. It was a lot of work, and it was a lot of the community coming together so something like this didn't happen again and so that we could protect this little town out in the middle of nowhere. Well, not we. I mean, I did the radio work. That was my part. The sheriff's the one that has to deal with all the problems. And fire. We put everything in there. Sheriff, fire, first responders, meaning ambulance drivers and things like that. So they had good coverage. I know I droned on and on about that, but I was trying to make a point that coverage matters. And when you're working with public safety, the budget affects the coverage. It just does. And for all you guys, we all complain about taxes, but then when something bad happens, then we wonder why the government didn't do anything. Listen, I don't know what the government does with all the tax money. I don't understand what they're doing up there. You know, not just the feds, the state, township. I mean, I pay a ton of money in property tax. And yet every year, it just seems like public safety is the first thing to get cut. I don't think it's fair. You know, we really need fire. We need ambulance. We need the medics. We need the police. We need them, whether you like it or not, to maintain order, to maintain peace, and to help save lives. All right, I'm off my high horse. I didn't realize I was talking so long, so sorry. Make it out to IWCE 2016, everybody. Hey, and all you guys that work on public safety, thank you. I really do appreciate what you're doing. All you first responders and all you guys that do public safety work for the first responders. And I'll tell you what, a lot of you radio guys that do public safety work, chances are you're on a volunteer fire company or you do weekends. And, you know, God bless you. Thank you. I just want to make sure I say that. All right, everyone. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be complacent. Don't be lazy. Don't be in a hurry. All right. See ya.